This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. Good evening. I'm Allison Bektesh, and coming up is Aspen Public Radio's live Town Hall Candidate Forum from the Basalt Regional Library. In just a moment, we will be joined by News Director Carolyn Zachariasen. She's moderating our two-hour live broadcast of the forum with the candidates running from the three open Basalt Town Council seats and the two candidates vying for the mayor's seat. We are joined now by News Director Carolyn Zachariasen for Aspen Public Radio's live Town Hall Candidate Forum in the Basalt Regional Library. We invite our listening audience to join the discussion by sending us a tweet at Aspen Pub Radio. Use hashtag Basalt Elections or send us an email to news@aspenpublicradio.org.
For the next hour or so, we will be talking with the candidates running for three open Basalt Town Council seats. After that, we will spend some time asking questions of the candidates running for mayor. We hope to wrap up around 8 or 8:15. About halfway through, we will take a brief break, perhaps a minute, to transition between council and mayoral candidates on the stage. Six people are running for council and two candidates for the mayor's seat. Those seeking council seats are incumbents Herschel Ross and Rob Levitt, as well as challengers Auden Schendler, Katie Schwer, Jennifer Riffle, and Leroy Durux. For the mayor's seat, Councilman Rick Stevens is challenging incumbent Jackie Witsit. Please join me in welcoming our panelists. To start it off, each candidate will have a two-minute opening statement summarizing why they should be elected. Auden Schendler couldn't be present for tonight's forum, so we will read his statement after the other candidates have taken their turns. After that, I will ask the candidates a series of questions and then open it up to the audience. Candidates, please limit your answers to 90 seconds max beyond your opening statements. For those listening and those in the audience, if you want more detail on the candidates' positions, log on to aspenpublicradio.org and read the candidates' responses to our questionnaire. And we invite our listening audience to join the discussion by sending us a tweet at aspenpubradio, use hashtag basaltelections, or send us an email to news@aspenpublicradio.org. Let's begin with Herschel Ross to my left for his opening statement.
I'm Herschel Ross. I'm an incumbent. This is the end of my first, hopefully, a four-year term as a town councilman. I was a town councilman for Snowmass Village. I was a Pitkin County commissioner for 4 years also. It's always interesting to think about on these various boards and on the nonprofit boards I've been on, what role it is you play. And certainly on the Basalt Town Council, if it were a Star Trek episode, I would be Spock. And this was a hard realization for me because Spock was never my favorite character. He never got the beautiful alien girl. And he was always having to come in and say something that maybe everybody didn't want to hear. It wasn't the popular thing to say. It was the logical thing to say. Captain, if you use the phasers now on the Klingons, the inevitable conclusion, and it's usually what Kirk didn't want to hear, and all the audience was going, kill the Klingons, kill the Klingons. But that role, I think, is influenced a lot by the fact that I had 20 years between being a county commissioner and being a Basalt Town Councilman. And it gives you a very interesting perspective. There's a bunch of stuff that you end up being proud of and some things that you're really glad you didn't get done because it wouldn't have worked out. And that inevitable consequences is a tough thing to grab onto. So you need an overarching philosophy like the Vulcans have. And mine is, everything that comes before me, is it moving us towards working people being able to live in Basalt, raise their kids, get a job, and maybe even own a business here? If it moves us the other way, if it's going to raise taxes, if it's going to make it harder, then that is the test that I hold up everything that comes into the council for. Thank you.
Thank you. Leroy Durux.
I'm Leroy Durux. I would appreciate the opportunity to serve the community that I've loved and worked hard in the past to make the best place to live and raise a family. My experience, knowledge, commitment, and historical background ensure that I'm ready to make decisions that have the most benefit for the future of Basalt. I've invested many hours in the River Master Plan, pedestrian connections, affordable housing, redevelopment of the Pan and Fork property, economic development, senior housing, and water issues. I believe the council needs to focus on the following issues: getting the budget back to a reasonable balance between revenues and expenditures, and creating a healthy reserve, finance and construct a pedestrian underpass at Highway 82, determine the appropriate ratio of park in development at the Pan and Fork that will create the best economic stimulus for our historic downtown, the need for affordable living for the next generations, and also child care, the need for options for senior citizens, housing, extended care, maintaining and improving infrastructure, streets, sidewalks, pedestrian connections, and traffic circulation, listening and facilitating the unity of our community once again. I would like to be involved in these decisions that move the decisions that move these critical issues forward for the town of Basalt. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Katie Schwer.
Good evening, and thanks for being here in person or listening on the radio. My name is Katie Schwer. I've lived in Basalt since 2006, and I've lived in the Valley since 1999. I served on the Basalt Town Council from 2008 through 2012. Those were interesting and challenging times as we faced both a boom and the recession. After serving on town council, I shifted more into a community organizer role. In 2013, I spearheaded the community opposition to the Mid-Valley Rec Center. The initiative failed by about 80% because the proposed rec center would have added a heavy tax burden to our community without end. In 2014, I ran for a seat on the Crown Mountain Board to represent the 80% of the voters. I currently serve on this board along with four other committed members. In 2015, I was active in rallying our community to express their concern about a very significant development application in our Mid-Valley. We won a critical initial denial because of the strength of our unified voices. I would like to continue working with the community, but this time as a Basalt Town Councilor. I believe that as a Basalt Town Councilor, I will have a critical vote to cast that will represent the public and the clear majority who wants to protect and preserve our exceptional town and valley. I understand that our community will change, but it's important that these changes benefit the many through thoughtful and patient consideration. Thank you for joining me tonight to discuss the issues of Basalt.
Thanks, Katie. Rob Levitt.
First, thank you to Aspen Public Radio and Caroline for having us all here tonight. Basalt is changing. When I ran for council 4 years ago, I was the only candidate, and then the only counselor at that time, who had children in the Basalt school system. Now, there are two and potentially three counselors with kids in Basalt schools. This is the new Basalt. When a community changes, there's going to be growing pains. And while it seems popular to talk about divisiveness in town, I don't see it that way. Sure, there are vocal minorities on both sides of an issue, but for the majority of us in the middle, working towards a new Basalt is promising and exciting. Old Basalt gave us a Riverside Plaza and the Riverwalk, which cut off our greatest resource from the town. New Basalt said no to 150,000 square feet of development on the Pan and Fork with wormholes to the river and opened up a big V so the Roaring Fork is visible and accessible to downtown. 4 years ago, despite an existing IGA with the school system, the board president of the school district felt the relationship between town and the district was, quote, basically non-existent. Today, in the new Basalt, the town and the schools collaborate on facilities and recreation and teacher housing. Old Basalt was a bedroom community. New Basalt is forging its own identity, and I'm running for re-election to make sure that happens.
Thank you, Rob. Jen Riffle.
Good evening, I'm Jen Riffle. I'd like to thank everyone for joining tonight, candidates, moderates, and especially those of you in the community. To those who are here in person and to those that are listening at home, all of us are here in the best interest of Basalt. I'd like to specifically commend the community members who are spending time to hear from candidates as to make an informed decision on whom to select to be the future leaders for Basalt. I'm a strong believer in the power of local government. It's easy to get swept away with all the media attention paid to our national elections, but when it comes down to it, the power of a single vote, it holds a much greater weight in local elections like we have upcoming on April 5th. I'm so proud to be part of an invested community, one that shows up to council meetings, chamber events, Mid-Valley Visionary gatherings, petition bonfires, and forums like this to hear and be heard on the direction of our amazing town and should be going. The degree of community involvement in Basalt is very unique and a key to our vitality. It is through the strength of the community involvement that I became interested in running for council. In the next 4 years, our community will have several significant issues coming before council. Most of the decisions on these issues will define the character of our community for decades to come. My intent as a councilwoman is to fully understand all of the options available, hear what the community desires, educate with understandable language what the options are, and do my best to guide town's directions to embrace the community's vision. In a recent survey, 70% of Basaltines stated they wanted to retain small town character. Basalt is one of the few remaining Colorado towns that still truly has that small town feel. The community is stating very strongly that this is an important trait of the town that we want to preserve into the future. Without creative, careful, thoughtful decisions on how to proceed, I feel we could easily get down a road that diminishes our amazing, unique character. If you vote for me, you will be voting for a moderate, community-minded citizen that will take stock of the issues facing Basalt today and be mindful of how those decisions will affect us 30-plus years to come.
Thanks, Jen. And as I mentioned, Auden Schindler couldn't be here tonight, so I will speak on his behalf, although just through his words. He wasn't able to make it because he's hosting a community forum on climate change for the Eagle County Commissioners. He sends his regrets and asks us to let the audience members know and listeners know that details on his platform and positions can be found on the Facebook page, Auden Schindler for Basalt Town Council, and also on the Aspen Daily News website. So now I'm going to begin by asking you all the same question, 90-second response, please. So the first one is, and I'll just start with you, Herschel,
Okay. Is
some say the Pan and Fork is the election issue for them and will be voting based on your position and what you believe is the best use for that piece of land. So what is the best use in your mind?
We started on the Pan and Fork 4 years ago, and we started with a wonderful slideshow that Bill Kane and the planning office put together of other towns that have done a great job of focusing on the rivers. And it was inspirational for us, and it helped motivate us to spend all the money and the very hard work, you know, to help the trailer park people relocate. All of those towns, if you look at all of these slides, they're sitting there in cafes drinking espresso. There's active things for the kids to do. It's an attraction. It's not just a local's amenity. That's the way we financed our purchase of the lands. And from the very start, I've said it's not either or. It isn't just a good park or a lot of development. Those aren't the options at all. You can have a great park and just the necessary development. Thank you. And that's where I am now. If you go by the town offices, if you go on our website, there's a beautiful drawing by our Citizens Committee and a great, great model that shows you that the present suggestion is obviously mostly park, and just the necessary development to support that park.
Okay, great. Leroy?
The Pan and Fork has been an item on the town's agenda for many years. We started my second term as mayor trying to figure out how we were going to purchase and relocate and make the park something that the town and citizens would be proud of. I think that our town planning process really is taking a lot of comments. A lot of people have spent hours with feedback and their ideas. And I think that the plan that the final plan that's been presented, as Herschel says, the model, is a good fit for the town. I think that it's very important, the design of the buildings, pedestrian connections, gathering places, view corridors, connectivity with the town, remainder of the town. And I think most importantly, we owe the people, the 300 plus people that lives were disrupted, to do something and proceed with something instead of just discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie?
I was also with Leroy on his second term, and I know that we discussed what to do with the Pan and Fork, and that it's been going on for decades, and we have made progress. For example, over the past several months, the commercial square footage on the parcel has been reduced from 150,000 square feet to 55,000 square feet. I believe this is progress and a reflection of the majority's vision for the parcel. I support an active river park, a place for families, kayakers, the arts, concerts, and general year-round recreation. I support limited commercial development closer to the RMI parcel of the park. I envision a park that stimulates sustainable economic vitality of our downtown. There's been a lot of questions about the numbers, and I support a thorough investigation of the financial numbers, the sunk costs, the appraised value, the market value, the intrinsic value of the property, and the long-term economic contribution of a vibrant river park. The town's analysis to date haven't accounted for any open space funding sources, which is a bad assumption and leads to the erroneous assumption that significant development is our only solution. Thank you.
Rob?
For the Pan and Fork property, I picture a vibrant, interesting, exciting, and fun park with attractions for people of all ages, from a water feature for kids to public art, embracing the river and the surrounding views and the environment. Appropriately sized and scaled development next to RMI, which we've discussed on council, has to activate the park. I supported something in the neighborhood of 50,000 square feet of development, and divided up into two or three buildings, it seemed to fit the scale we're looking for. I also supported height limits on the buildings of 34 feet, which is the height of Rocky Mountain Institute. I don't think the majority of any of the new buildings should be any taller than that. I promote businesses that provide interesting and well-paying jobs, especially if they harness the energy of RMI. I could support retail, food and beverage, commercial, and especially a nonprofit campus. And as I said 2 weeks ago, I spent the last 4 years pulling out my hair trying to figure out how to pay for that nonprofit campus.
Well, it's radio, but you were successful. Jen.
The Pan and Fork parcel is a once-in-a-lifetime developable asset to the residents and town of Basalt. With this parcel, our town can invest towards a model of a sustainable community. A sustainable community is one that is economically, environmentally, and socially healthy and resilient. It meets the challenges through integrated solutions rather than through fragmented approaches that meet one of these goals at the expense of the others. Coordinating long-term planning and zoning from the cards in our hand, including Lions Park, the Recycling Center, and Clark's, is necessary to align zoning or stating uses or maximum amount of development on the Pan and Fork. I do not support high-end residential at this time. Currently, I do support integrating into planning minimum footprint, maximizing river views, minimizing fenced-in private areas, creating a walkable neighborhood, and a two-story height restriction reflecting the historic building heights on Midland Avenue.
So do you support some commercial then along with a park?
Yes, I feel that there is some development on there, and I'm not stating that it should occur this year. I'm definitely of a phased approach and looking at it in increments.
So it sounds like based on your guys' answers that you're not all that far apart in what you want at the Pan and Fork.
It's true. There's a lot of similarities.
Okay. Adding on to that, yeah, there are a lot of different information and opinions about how the money works for developing the Pan and Fork in some way, or making it entirely a park, or something in between. And this is what we know from the town. It's spent $8.7 million so far on this. $5 million is debt issued by the town of Basalt. $2.5 to $2.75 million is what's owed by either CDC or the developer. And the town disagrees on what the appraisal is for that 2.3-acre parcel. So my question, and I'll start with Herschel to my left, is what is council's role in clarifying how much a project should cost taxpayers? There's lots of, you know, fancy flyers out there saying that it's going to be a $10 million loss if we don't, you know, do certain things. So what role do you play as an elected leader to make sure that information is accurate to the electorate?
We have a great staff and a fabulous financial analyst, and they require any development that comes in to totally share with the town the finances, the income, you know, the revenues. I take my responsibility of spending the taxpayers' money very, very seriously. I know I work really hard. I have a downtown business. I work really hard to raise the money to pay my taxes. And so it's really important that we understand and have a good appraisal and not spend any more money of the taxpayers' money that we have to. I think that there's a lot of talk about economic vitality. I don't think you want the town running the concessions that make this an active park. You know, I keep talking about the frozen yogurt shop and the renting the skis and a cross-country track in the winter, and the fishing poles in the summer. You don't want the town doing that. You need that in the hands of the private sector. And if they come in and share with the costs, it won't be a giant financial burden, but we have to be very sure and do our analysis and trust our land use code. Our process gives us a chance to say no to anything that is either going to be a terrible burden on our taxpayers or is not compatible with the town. This panic, these emotions, I'm going back to my logical Vulcan side, I'm sorry, something might get built that isn't exactly that I want, isn't going to take us forward. You have to have trust in your land use process. We have all the hoops you could ever want, lots of sticks, few carrots.
Okay. Leroy, talking about the money.
Yeah, I've been...
The cost to the town.
I've been concerned about money for a long time, and actually that's why I decided to run for council again, because of the fact that extraordinary amounts of money are being spent. And I'm not really sure how they're going to ever be paid back other than by property taxes passed on to the homeowners and property owners. The commercial property owners pay twice as much as residential. I think the numbers that the town has put out are pretty clear. I think when you figure the square footage costs so far on that piece of property, it's right up there with probably Aspen. You know, it's very important to not overspend or overpromise funds either. The parks, trails, and open space 1% sales tax, I think it's probably been promised in about 10 different directions. So I don't know how many years out that'll be before we catch up with that. So, you know, we have to really be mindful of the cost of creating what we're creating. I think there has to be partnerships with private developers in order for the town to recover some of its hard costs right now. Right now, the CDC owes the town a lot of money, and if in fact, that the town goes the way that the citizens group and wants to spend $3 million more, I mean, that makes $5.8 million that the town taxpayers are going to be responsible for. So I think really care needs to be taken in the cost of all this, not to mention the $4 million that's going to be needed for the pedestrian underpass.
Katie?
Okay, I'm a former banker, and I'm currently a finance director of a local nonprofit. So I must say that being fiscally conservative is in my blood. It's what I've done as my profession over the past decade. Second, any tax increase has to go to the voters. It's not a town council decision to determine what your property taxes will be. Third, there was a petition that asked for this to go on the ballot so that the community could answer what they wanted, whether they wanted to take on potential debt for the purchase of the parcel. Over the past 4 years, I feel that the town manager and staff and the council has been making great strides to engage third-party consultants such as Ehlers, and I feel like that is a way in which we can truly understand our numbers. We're getting pro formas that we're able to dive into and allow us to have a full analysis of the numbers. Also, when it comes to the parcel, we can create partnerships with local entities like Pitkin County, Open Space, Pitkin County, Eagle County, and GoCo to make this park a reality and not create a burden on our tax our taxpayers.
Thank you. Rob Levitt? Again, we're talking about what the council's role, what your role is as an elected leader on making sure the right information gets out financially on the pin and fork.
Great. Let's start with saying there's a few people in town that think certain members of council are in bed with developers. And let me say right here tonight that I'm not in bed with anybody except my wife. Now, council's role in this is to determine the costs, to analyze, to discuss, and to verify the costs and the projections. But council does not raise taxes. As Katie said, Colorado's a Tabor state. Any tax increase goes to the voters. So we don't raise your taxes, you raise your taxes. What town can do to reduce that burden is to find as many partners as we can. Pitkin County, Pitco, Eagle Co, GoCo, and any other co that wants to contribute will take the money.
Jen Riffle.
The role I play is to educate the public in common English terms. So we have all of these studies, which are very, very valuable, and disseminating the studies to tease out the language that you, the citizens, can understand, that's something that I want to strive towards. I can tell you by looking at a cost category summary, there's some variety of words there. What we do have on hand is $2 million post, which is public open space and trails on hand. These are funding sources for ways to purchase the pan and fork that will not raise your taxes, that you can count on being there. The general fund on hand, $650,000. Tax-exempt GO bonds, $1.6 million, or together with taxable bonds, $4.8 million. So there's a lot of available money, and that's just a simple way to put it out there.
And those numbers are coming from the town of Basalt?
Correct.
Great. Okay. This is Aspen Public Radio broadcasting on KEJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. You're listening to a live town hall candidate forum from the Basalt Regional Library. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. We are here talking with Basalt Town Council candidates Herschel Ross, Rob Levitt, Katie Schwer, Jennifer Riffle, and Leroy DeRux. So now I'm going to ask you guys individual questions, and then we'll go back to answering as a group. Katie, in one of your answers to Aspen Public Radio's questionnaire, You said, quote, the condescending tone of several officials needs to change, and we have that opportunity in this election to vote these men out of office and replace them with more open-minded, progressive citizens. My question is this. Can you elaborate, give specifics, and what if it is only you who is elected? How will you change that dynamic?
Well, as we know, there are three women running for council, and currently right now there is only one woman on council, one out of seven. I think it's critical that we change this imbalance, get it back into balance with several women on the council. And when it comes to that bold answer that I gave Aspen Public Radio, the reason that I'm running is because I feel that council hasn't been listening and hasn't been open-minded to what the citizens want. Women tend to be a little more open to feedback. And I will say that I also pointed out in my answers that there was a particular moment when I was at council in town hall, and it was the Willett subsidy discussion, and it was pretty intense. The room was packed. There were plenty of people outside. Majority wanted that subsidy voted down. A lot of people had courage, shared their opinion, and then when it went to deliberation, there was one particular council person that stated that he did not care what the electorate thought of his voting. And to me, that was the nail in the coffin for my decision to run for town council. I couldn't believe that someone would be so brazen and dismissive of the courage that it takes to show up at a council meeting and share their opinion.
Part of my three-part question was, can you give specifics? So now I'll ask you who that was, so we don't have to go back and look at the minutes.
It was Rick Stevens.
Okay. I'll let Rick respond to that when he gets up on the stage later this next hour. Herschel,
yes,
I have a question
ma'am.
For you. You said previously that Basalt needs to stop lagging behind the rest of the valley in recovering from the economic downturn.
Yes.
You've been on the council for the past 4 years. What role have you played in that lag, and what will you do to correct it?
What role did I play in the lag? The lag happened with the economic a recession. I can show you two full cardboard boxes of dental patients that had to leave the valley. I mean, they didn't stop coming for checkups. They didn't move to another dentist. They had to leave. Their jobs were gone. If you look at the empty storefronts on Midland, this is not some a hypothetical idea. I have a business downtown. I walk by those empty storefronts every day. If you go to other parts of our valley, they are recovering better than we have.
So how can you as a town councilman fix that instead of just walking by?
Exactly. Well, you can use those few carrots that we have in the land use code to encourage the kind of development that makes Basalt the kind of place we'd like it to be. Obvious example, RMI. Our financial guys saved them $1 million in their construction cost. We have some carrots. It's not all sticks and hoops. Those kinds of things, you know, the River Conservancy building, we made up a new zone district for the a senior living thing. We've brought in partnerships for affordable housing with Pitkin County. We have a relationship with them. It's certainly nothing like when I was on the commission. My God, we actually work with them now. And those are the kinds of things we need to do to bring the kind of economic activity that that brings more people living down. We have five affordable housing projects on the drawing boards. We need to get a shovel in the ground.
So just for clarity.
Clarity. I'm for clarity.
Would you support an office building on the Pan and Fork based on that?
An
statement?
Office building on the Basalt River Park, I like to call it, Carolyn. It depends on the building. We have, what's the name of that a company from Carbondale that wants to move up?
Backbone Media.
Yeah, Backbone. They're talking about a very small, on that same developable area of a very desirable company, more people working downtown, going out to lunch downtown, shopping at Midland Shoes. You bet, I'm for it.
Okay. Jen, you said there needs to be a definitive direction provided by council, staff, and committees to avoid the month-long lags in coordination. There's a common theme here, condescending and lags. Can you give us an example of where there was a breakdown and how you would have handled it differently?
Sure. At a recent, I believe it was maybe 6 weeks ago, three council meetings ago, the chair for planning and zoning was presenting on what planning and zoning committee had been working on as far as the Pan and Fork parcel. I believe that's what it was. Oh, yes, it was. And they presented what they had come up with, and it went around council, and many of the council members' comments were, we need direction from you, planning and zoning, as far as what is square footage that you would put on the Pan and Fork parcel, and also what restrictions. And planning and zoning came back and said, well, we're suggesting no restrictions. And then council came back, the mayor and many of the council people came back and said, no, we need specific numbers. And then staff chimed in and said, well, it seems like it's good. I mean, it seems like you have common ground there. And council was saying, no, we need clarity. And planning and zoning was, well, okay, at the next meeting, maybe we'll come up with some more clarity. And at that point, I would stop the meeting and I would say, hold on. We're not hearing each other. We just went back and forth two rounds. We're here this week. Let's not put another 2 weeks between us. Please hear that I'm asking you, the committee, to come up with some of your clarifications.
Thank you. Rob, what would you have done differently about involving the public on the last 18 months worth of back and forth on the Pan and Fork? You said council could have done a better job communicating the town's progress, explaining the delays, and publicizing the timeline for the work. So where was the breakdown?
I think the breakdown was with our communications with the town. We've been making progress on this issue for the last year. It's moving slowly, and government work goes slowly. I've learned that in the last 4 years. But I also know that it's better to go slow and get it right than go fast and mess it up. We've been making progress. We have a vision. I don't think we've done a great job expressing that vision to the public. And that was our mistake. We could have communicated better, used our different ways of media and the press to get the message out there that we do have a plan and that we are moving forward. But the fact of the matter is, we do have a plan and we are moving forward.
Great, thank you. And last but not least, Leroy. You know, a common theme that came out of the answers to the Aspen Public Radio's questionnaire is this rift between council and staff and the condescending tone from elected leaders. And you cited in your answer that when you said no more comments in public meetings, that staff are not doing their jobs. Can you elaborate and tell us how you can bring back civil discourse?
Well, you know, I was at a council meeting not too long ago where that topic was, or that statement was actually made. The person on council said, staff, you're not doing the job. I do not believe that's appropriate. I think that staff is handled through the town manager, and I think that council, if they have a problem, they need to go to the town manager and let the town manager deal with it. I think to criticize or cut off a staff person in a public hearing is totally inappropriate, and it's also not very respectful. I think that the town staff, you know, there's a few people doing a lot of work there. It's an amazing group of people. I don't think they get enough support. And just in my conversations with different staff members, I think they're right now at a point where they don't know if they can continue or not. So I think that, you know, if I'm elected, if I do nothing else, I'm going to make sure that the staff is appreciated and respected.
Thank you. You're listening to Aspen Public Radio. This is a live town hall candidate forum from the Basalt Regional Library. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. We're talking with town council candidates Herschel Ross, Rob Levitt, Katie Schwer, Jen Riffle, and Leroy Durox. Following up on that, what you just said, Leroy, do you think town government is big enough? Some say that staff workload is so over the top that they can't carry out comprehensive plans and the policies and proposals that are required at such a critical juncture for the town.
Well, I think that, you know, the town manager is responsible for the staff, and I think that, you know, he has to make the decisions whether they need to add staff or not. You know, I think the staff does the best they can with what they have to work with. And, for example, our finance director worked 7 days a week for 8 or 9 months on the relocation of families in the mobile home park. So I think she went above and beyond her. Not only that, she did the budget, she did the audit and the day-to-day operations of the town. So I think that, you know, it's up to the town manager to determine where more staff people are needed, and it's up to the council to decide whether the town can really can afford the extra personnel.
Right. Herschel, you want to answer that question about whether town government's big enough, and how would you pay for, you know, any sort of expansion in that, if that's the case?
We have an amazing staff. We have an amazing staff. I've said it over and over in meetings. The things that they have been able to accomplish with the number of people they have is because with our town manager moving people into the right jobs and giving them clarity as far as what their direction and their definitions of their jobs are, we have been able to accomplish absolutely fabulous things. Anybody who blames something they don't like on the town on the staff is not looking in the mirror. The at the end of the year, a summary, they had a 53-item list of the things that the staff had accomplished in 2015. It was impressive. When we need expertise, we're doing a fabulous job outsourcing for consultants. And they are saving us a ton of bucks.
Katie?
When I served on council from 2008 to 2012, as I mentioned, we went through really difficult times with the recession and having to make really difficult choices about expenses that needed to be cut. And one of the things that happened during that time was that our planning department lost two people, which is a 50% reduction in our planning department. I agree with what Leroy and Herschel have stated. Our town staff is incredible, and many of them don't even live in the town of Basalt, and yet they love Basalt, and they show up to so many events that we as Basaltines may not even know that is happening. They are incredibly committed to this town, and I think that they're all incredible, and I'm grateful for them.
Rob, do you think that town government's big enough and for what you're asking them to do with all this critical juncture that the town's at?
I do. You know, part of being a small town is having a small government, and being small government makes us nimble and able to respond quickly as needed. As it's been well documented tonight, our staff is amazing and appreciated and gets a lot of work done. We outsource when we need to. We don't have a staff engineer anymore. We use an outside engineer when we need one. So, you know, we're small where we need to be, and we'll be big if we where we need to be as well.
Okay. And Jen?
As a resident, looking at the process of what the long-term planning options are for downtown, the Pan and Fort parcel, et cetera. I could see there, I'm going to just flat out say, I feel that there could be another staff person. I feel looking at investment accounts payable report and seeing that in 2015, the town has spent $4 million for a variety of different things, and this is paying our debts, et cetera. I would love to see another line in there for a long-term planner. I feel that our planning department is critical, and we are at a critical juncture in Basalt. And looking at it for the next 30 years, we have some really big decisions to make, and I would love to see a very talented, aware person who has experience planning a very small town. I feel that that would be money well spent.
Okay, thank you. Let's move over to the other side of Basalt with Willits. And the developer there, Mariner, has approvals for 591,000 square feet of commercial and free market residential space. About half of it is completed, and the company just sold two key buildings. What role can council play, if any, to alleviate the uncertainty of the developer's plans? Herschel?
Uncertainty? I don't know that I would go along with uncertainty. That whole development was a PUD. It was all planned. It was all approved long before my time. Maybe Leroy was on council by then. All those holes in the ground have been approved to be built on. There is no uncertainty.
You think they're going to hold on to it and continue on, or are you going to sell it and you're going to deal with somebody else?
Okay. You want a frank answer to that?
No, of course.
Of course not. the 500-pound gorilla in the room is the tree farm project, and I think that that Mariner is aware that they need to get their area developed and the spaces rented out before across the street this monster gets built in the county with none of our land use restrictions and none of our mitigations. That's the 500-pound gorilla, and they're looking for being able to be competitive with rents across the street that don't have to meet our land use code. I don't know if you've read that application, but they don't even have any parking in there for a parking ride or anything else because we built a RAFTA station there. And so that and the fact that 70% of our sales tax revenues come from Willits require us to stop villainizing a developer and work with them and help them be what they were designed to be 15 years ago.
Right. And, you know, we'll just also say that that project's on hold as the developer changes the application because of concerns from the Mid-Valley Commission, right? So, Herschel, just...
I'm sorry, Carolyn. That's the Mid-Valley Advisory Board.
Okay.
There's a big difference.
Following up on that, can you please explain your vote on the Mariner Real Estate Management's request to share future sales tax revenues? Would you have voted differently had you known that they were negotiating to sell a portion of Willits for over $30 million?
I think that they sold those buildings because they didn't get the expansion. But I don't know. I'm not them. You'll have to ask Belinsky.
We've tried.
Yeah. If you look at the list of the mitigations that they were bringing in order to go ahead with an expansion of the properties that they already had approved, I mean, they've proved that they can find a way to go ahead and build it anyway, and we don't get any of the revenues that we might have. But the most important thing to me was on the list of mitigations were... affordable housing for the school district, big donations annually to preschool child care, underground parking for park and ride people, my own absolutely favorite thing, office space for the veterans who are not getting any help from the Veterans Administration. I mean, it goes on and on and on. All of those things we lost, they were important to me in that vote. I would vote the same way.
Rob, I'd like to ask you about your vote regarding that and whether or not you would have done the same thing, your first vote.
Sure. The first time around, I voted in favor of the PIF-TIF for Willits because I thought it warranted further discussion. If we were interested in fast-tracking completion of that project, that would have been a good way to go. It became pretty apparent that the town had no public appetite for that PIF-TIF, so the second time around, I voted against it. I did support the additional 91,000 square feet of development because what the town received in exchange for that was just too valuable to pass up. We got 15 units of affordable housing for teachers coming on the heels of Proposition 3B that funded it. That the school district got money to pay for teacher housing, it seemed irresponsible not to accept that offer right then. We also got the things that Herschel just talked about. We actually did get the donations to WeCycle. We got the donation for preschool. We got the shell of the building for the veterans. So it ended up being a really good deal for the town in exchange for that additional square footage at Willits.
Do you have any thoughts on what kind of role the council can play in the uncertainty of the developer? I mean, is there anything that the elected leaders can do?
Well, it's an approved PUD, so if they build according to their plans, there's nothing council can do to stop them. If they want to make changes, they'll come to us, and then we can negotiate with them. But, you know, I'm a lifelong registered independent, but spending 4 years in local governments making me think a little bit about becoming libertarian, because there's so many things that people want us to regulate, and there's certain things that I don't believe government should be putting its fingers into.
Jen, do you have any opinion on the Willits developer?
Not necessarily. Does it matter who it's sold to? We are going to work with whoever develops what the town has approved. And as a prospective council person, know that I am a tough negotiator. My husband and I remodeled our house, and we did not buy a single item for retail. I joke that my motto is budget is my color. And I'm going to negotiate hard for the citizens of Basalt if there's any variations or future developments that come along to make sure that the community gets substantial benefits. And I'm going to play hardball for our town and our citizens.
Thank you. Leroy, do you have some thoughts on this as far as?
Yeah, I have a little history on Willits. I was on the board when Willits was approved. I was mayor when Freed pulled out and left the thing standing. Bill Kane and I, Bill Kane, the former town manager, and myself, we met with the Mariner Group probably a half a dozen times trying to convince them that the risk was worth taking in investing in the town of Basalt. We finally convinced them of that. They came in. We also had a number of meetings with the Whole Foods people and convinced them that this town was the right place for this Whole Foods store. And so I think, you know, it was pretty successful. I think Mariner really kind of saved the bacon on the development there. And as far as them rolling over a building or two, I think that's business, and I don't know that town council needs to have any say in their business plan. I think that they're in business, and they're in business to make a profit. They're not a nonprofit, so I think that the town has to separate itself from their financial.
Thank you. Katie, do you want to add to that?
Well, I'm very glad you bring up Willits. Willits is a significant part of our town, and sometimes it's forgotten, other than considered a sacrifice zone and a sales tax motherlode. I live in Willits, and we're real people, and we do care about our town, the entire town. When it comes to certainty from the town council, I unequivocally do not support a subsidy to a developer that is supported through my hard-earned tax dollars, sales tax dollars. perhaps the developer should contemplate what is the appropriate amount of commercial space for our Mid-Valley, what can we truly absorb. And as I said, when this went to town council in January, I have no interest in bailing out a developer who went on a buying spree after the recession.
Thank you. We haven't talked about Old Town, but I hope we can. But before we do that, I'd like you to answer this question in 30 seconds or less, which is, what is the biggest issue facing Basalt outside of the Pan and Fork and the Willits versus Old Town debate? And what do you intend to do about it? Jen, I'll start with you.
Yes. Right now, the greatest issue is how this election has brought the citizens, the town, everyone to a boil. And we've got to get around the campfire, hold hands, and sing kumbaya to peacefully all come together. After this boil, we're going to have a lot of clarity. And I look forward to all of us meeting eyes and working together.
Thank you. Rob, what do you see as the biggest issue facing the town?
Well, the town craves vitality. And we're going to get growth in the valley, and that's going to give us our vitality. The biggest issue is how we manage those two things. If you want to have small town charm, you have to be a small town. And if we're in a river floating downstream towards a waterfall, you don't paddle forward. So how we manage that growth is going to be the biggest issue we face.
Katie?
In the short term, I'm very excited about the Southside Underpass and that it's mostly fully funded. I feel like that's a life and safety issue that the town has been grappling with over several years. And I'm, as a bus rider, having to cross Highway 82, I'm incredibly grateful that we are moving forward on that. I also share Rob's concern about economic vitality, in particular in our downtown. I know that comes up over and over and over again. And one interesting possibility would be a revolving loan fund. Carbondale has had great success with that, and it's been funded by the USDA. I believe Aloha Cycle and Silo are both recipients of these relatively small loans that are collateralized and are charged an interest rate. But that could really invigorate our downtown with younger people coming in and making this community both their home and their economic home.
Thank you. Leroy, what's the biggest issue facing the town of Basalt?
Well, I guess I'm old school because I'm concerned about the infrastructure. I'm concerned also about water. You know, our streets, our sidewalks, our trails, that's stuff that's all forgotten because it's really not glamorous, but it's very important to the economic well-being of our town. If you let streets get degraded to a certain point, then you have to tear the whole street up and redo it, and I'm not one for letting maintenance slide on anything. We've been really successful in upgrading our public works equipment. We've been really successful in upgrading our police vehicles, and I think that's something that really needs to be concentrated on, and I think you have to budget those monies first before you budget fluff stuff, so that's where I am.
People care about potholes. Herschel, what do you think is the biggest issue facing
affordable housing? If you've been looking around for residential lately, as I have, there isn't any out there. I think if we're going to get this vitality, if we're going to get more economic success, we need more people living here. We have five now affordable housing projects on the drawing board. Those will free up some of the free market residential and bring more people living here other than just the wealthy retired. We need that for the kind of vitality everybody is talking about. I think in the next 4 years, which way the town's going will be to a great deal decided by affordable housing.
Thank you. You are listening to Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen, and you are listening to a live Town Hall Candidate Forum from the Basalt Regional Library. We're going to now turn to the audience and listeners for their questions. Please, panelists, limit your answer to 90 seconds. And you can join in the discussion by sending us a tweet at Aspen Pub Radio. Use the hashtag Basalt Elections, or send an email to news@aspenpublicradio.org. So is there anybody here that wants to ask a question of the candidates? If not, I can go to some of the questions I got from emails earlier today. Tony Kronberg, and then...
Here comes Tony. Tony's always got a question. Come on, Tony. You always have a question.
I do. And good evening, everyone. My name is Tony Kronberg, and I only live about 5 miles from downtown Basalt. And I think one of the biggest issues facing Basalt, downtown Basalt, is lack of parking and how to get around. And many times we'll come down and we get stuck in the middle of downtown Basalt on Midland. And I personally think that until that is resolved, that you're not going to be able to create the economic vitality that everyone is espousing. I don't know if you just read Scott Condon's article in the weekly Aspen Times. The article was titled Choked, Strangled by Success. And City of Aspen, they are now, for the first time in 40, 45 years, they're actually going to take the bull by the horn, and they're going to have a forum at the Aspen Institute to talk about regional and local transportation. And I would love to hear your opinion on how you think you could solve that, and then the regional commute going up and down the valley. Thank you.
Jen, would you like to start?
Yes, please.
You look like you're ready to.
Many options exist for creative parking solutions. I will be invested in researching and analyzing all. Good parking policies exhibit the following traits. They're cost-effective, fair to all modes of transportation, and all income levels, easy to administer, green, and a political winner. Some options include enforcing time limits, metered parking, incentives to employees to utilize mass transit, or allowing privately owned lots to monetize or permit their parking. Basalt can zone parking benefit districts, which a nonprofit manages parking revenues for the benefit of the community. We can create community buy-in by allowing residents and/or businesses to develop and vote on projects funded by parking revenues. Whichever path I considered, I will encourage community and stakeholder collaboration in development of these decisions.
Thank you. Rob, responding to an audience question about traffic and congestion.
Well, as far as traffic on Highway 82, if you're driving up Valley, look out your right window. If the same car has been there for 10 minutes, you should probably be behind it. The left lane is for passing. The right lane is for driving. As far as parking downtown, you guys are slow, but you got it. If we have a parking problem downtown, any future development can't exacerbate that problem. It has to provide solutions. So wherever we decide to build, we have to include underground parking, tuck under parking, and we need to free up the spots on Midland for visitors. So employees, residents need to park off the street to make those places available for Tony and other people that come to town. We also need to bolster other means of transportation, better biking trails. We Cycles coming to town thanks to funding from this council, better connected walking trails, maybe an interconnected bus for Basalt someday, and maybe expanded RAFTA parking as well.
Thank you. Katie?
Well, we know that Americans love their cars. I think that RAFTA has done an amazing job with their BRT program. I think I read just the other day that the RAFTA board is now investigating, I believe, at $1 million. What the future needs will be for this valley to continue with a successful BRT and public transportation system. I happen to really champion the idea of trying to create a Basalt that isn't as car-centric as the rest of our country. One step in the right direction would be additional walking and biking connections. with clear signage. Once we get our Southside underpass, that's going to eliminate additional cars coming into Basalt as parents and their children feel safe using the underpass instead of having to go across Highway 82. A lot of parents say that they just absolutely will not allow their children to cross Highway 82, so they drive them here to go to school. So I think that that will help our downtown. We also have this very ambitious Two Rivers Greenway Master Plan, which is absolutely incredible, but as of 2007, it had a $39 million price tag, and as Leroy has pointed out, maybe that's not in our town budget right now, but with partnerships and vision and patience, perhaps we can get that in the pipeline.
Thank you. Leroy?
Well, you know, to me, parking problem may be a good thing. That means that we're busy downtown. But I think that most of the points have been covered so far. I think employees need to park away from the core. I think that also at some point, and I think it should be in the near future, that a collector bus needs to be instituted throughout town, so people going from the neighborhoods can get to Willits without driving, vice versa. And I think any development, redevelopment that occurs downtown has to be part of a overall parking plan.
Thank you. Leroy? Herschel. Thank you.
It was okay to call on Leroy in because I think he hit on a very important part there. The Basalt Center Circle development will certainly exacerbate our parking problem, and so in their application, there has to be adequate parking. In preparation for that, our staff has already been pricing out surface versus underground versus a structured parking, and is in the process of applying for an urban renewal designation for downtown Basalt so that we can actually be a player in more parking. And just as my favorite plan that came out of the Our Town planning process was that if you're coming into Basalt from Down Valley, you would access Midland over Midland Spur. And so Lyons Park and the Basalt River Park would be contiguous. And then the present Two Rivers Road would be parking for both parks. That plan.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
Sure.
Just state your name.
I'm Tim Whitsett. I just wondered, in talking with people around, this is a working community, and not just a working community. Pretty much everybody and their spouse is working. And that means there's a real critical need for daycare. And we seem to be at a point where we are at a near crisis for daycare availability, much less affordability. And I just wondered from the candidates what your thoughts are on the town of Basalt's role in either providing or supporting daycare opportunities.
Leroy, why don't you go first?
I mean, it seems like the town has approved a lot of development in places that included daycare. Unfortunately, the development did not occur. I think it happened twice up on Stotts Mill. I think that the town has been very cognizant of the idea of daycare, and we've tried to provide, in development review, places the daycare could occur. Unfortunately, none of those were built. It's a problem, and I don't know that the town has a solution for the problem.
Okay. Herschel?
Leroy pretty much said it all. It is a top priority. We've had some really eye-opening shocking presentations from the preschool daycare people about the need and the huge waiting lines and the lack of facilities. And we have, in our recent applications, required support for daycare. As Leroy said, when they disappeared with the senior living thing, we had required them actually to donate the land. That and our own a support through a funding is about all the tools we have right now.
Jen, would you like to answer that question about daycare?
Of course. It's something very important to those, my generation and many of my friends. I will piggyback with the already stated, I'm not going to say them over again. What I will differentiate on is put out there that the town could offer low interest loans for daycare upstarts or for the repairs for the existing daycare. That's an option that I think is very viable and interesting.
Rob Levitt?
Well, my two daughters went to Growing Years preschool in Basalt, and they were lucky to get in, because if we had children now, they'd probably be on a waiting list to get into preschool. Right now, the town of Basalt gives $30,000 a year to the Early Child Care Coalition to support child care in the valley. That's a pretty big chunk for a small town, but that demonstrates our commitment to taking care of our kids. We've discussed passing a Healthy Communities Act, which would help with affordable housing, with child care, and with senior housing, and that's something that down the road could be really helpful. And we work with the schools, and happily now we have a good relationship with the school district, so we can work with them to build a playground at the elementary school or to repurpose the red brick into a child care.
Katie?
As we know, this is not just unique to the town of Basalt. This is actually a national crisis in which our children are not getting universal daycare or universal care. Most mothers are expected to go back to work after 3 months. I think this is unacceptable, and it's testament to our country needing to revisit what are our values. This is our future. So we're going to wrangle with it here in Basalt. As Leroy and Herschel pointed out, we've had developments such as Stotts Mill come in and state that they would do daycare. But we also need to encourage our national leaders to make this a priority. This is really, really critical. And north of the United States, Canada, Scandinavian countries, they give their parents 18 months per parent. So children are with their parents and raised for 3 years, and that's a critical development period. There's also research stating that when children are placed in daycare and removed from their mother at a very young age, that this can result in mental health trouble, which we also know is a major problem in our country.
Okay, really quickly before we end here, yes or no question. Are you willing to raise taxes to provide these things that the community needs, like affordable housing, parking, daycare? Herschel? Yes, no? Or do you want development to pay for it? Really quick.
All three. All of the above. I think it was Rob that said, wherever we can get the money, we'll take it. And that's not a bad philosophy. I think you have to work with developers. And so they do, in their mitigations, do some of the things that we really can't afford. I think that raising taxes is a last resort, and it has to be for something that the voters really want bad.
I asked the question wrong. I should have just been a yes or no. But Jen, would you support tax increase for these amenities? For the community
that
needs?
Is up to the voter. I can't increase taxes as a prospective council person. I can put it to the voter, and the voter can decide.
Rob?
Like Jen said, the question will go to the voters, but I'll vote yes on it.
Okay. Katie?
I agree that we need to work with developers, and again, all tax increases would go to the voters, and they would have to decide what their priorities are.
Leroy?
Same answer.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. That's all the time we have. Thanks to the Basalt Town Council candidates. Just a reminder, this is an all mail-in ballot election. So ballots were mailed out on Monday, March 14th, and will likely be arriving this week and next. Voters can return ballots by mail, but each ballot must have 49 cents stamps or postage. Ballots can also be dropped off at Basalt Town Hall, and if you haven't sent your ballot in by March 31st, which is 2 weeks from today, Basalt's election clerk recommends hand-delivering the ballot to Town Hall. If you're registered to vote in Basalt and don't receive a ballot in the mail, call Basalt Town Clerk Pam Schilling at 970-927-4701. And if you are just realizing you never registered to vote and you want to participate in this election after this riveting debate we just had, you can register to vote at govotecolorado.com or in person at your county clerk or recorder's office. Bring proof of registration to Basalt Town Hall and you can pick up a ballot. This is Aspen Public Radio, broadcasting on KAJX Aspen and KCJX Carbondale. You've been listening to a live Town Hall candidate forum from the Basalt Regional Library. I'm Carolyn Zachariasen. Thanks to our panelists. Coming up in just a minute, the two mayoral candidates will take the stage, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Aspen Public Radio's live Town Hall Candidate Forum from the Basalt Regional Library. Good evening, I'm Allison Bechtesh. We've just heard APR News Director Carolyn Zachariasen speaking with Basalt Town Council candidates Herschel Ross and Rob Levitt, as well as challengers Auden Schindler. Actually, Auden was not available to attend tonight. Katie Schwerer, Jennifer Riffle, and Leroy Durkitz. Up next are the two mayoral candidates, Jackie Witsit and Rick Stevens, for the second portion of our live Town Hall Candidates Forum. Stay tuned. Again, you are listening to the live Town Hall Forum from the Basalt Regional Library. We're just waiting a moment as the candidates switch out. We've just heard from the Town Council candidates and are waiting for the two mayoral candidates to take the stage to speak with News Director Carolyn Zachariasen. Stay tuned.